So today is National Faith in Blue Day, and we have the privilege this morning to hear from Cedric Tanksley, Officer Tanksley, who has served 15 plus years in the police department, law enforcement, and we know him, we've heard him sing, we know his family, but this morning we have a privilege to hear what God has put in his heart. So welcome with me, Cedric Tanksley.
Thank you. Good morning. So, Father God, just covered this time. In blood of your name, we pray, amen. I'd like to start off by telling you guys a story. Once upon a time, I had a prisoner in my custody, and this person was very irate, very disturbing, and causing a disorder in our community in which I serve. And when I got to the scene, it looked like it took maybe three or four officers to restrain this individual. However, I got to the scene and I started to try to talk to him, because I said maybe the way that they're going about doing it isn't the way that is going to connect with him. Because as you just heard, it's all about making that connection and engaging with them. Maybe understanding and maybe putting your feet in their shoes at that moment. Maybe that's what it's about. And this guy continued to be irate. And so I asked, hey, why don't you let him ride with me as I go take him to do what we call processing? And so he got in the vehicle and he continued to, you know, yell out these belligerent things. And I say, hey, man, listen, I'm just not that guy. Okay. I'm not that guy. We're not going to talk like that. So you might as well stop it. Anyway, along our ride, God was like, you know what? Maybe share the word with him. I said, yeah, you know. So I started to try to connect with him. Hey, man, you know, what about, where's your father? Where's your, you know, maybe your brothers and sisters, if you have any. And as you can see, this gentleman went from here to here. He just started to come down. And at that moment, I felt that there was a connection. Now, when I got to where I needed to go, there was a waiting time due to the fact of change of shift, which gave us more time to conversate. And as I shared the gospel with him, I shared my story, and I became personal and vulnerable with him. He started to feel connected because he seen me the same way that I see him. He no longer seen the uniform. He seen human being. He seen Cedric Tanksley. And by the time I got the opportunity to go in and finish what I needed to do, he sat in my back seat and he said these words, and I'll never forget them. He said, hey, is it possible for me to get a phone number for you from you so you could be my mentor? And I said, hey, that's a round of applause right there, right? I said, wow, you know, I was kind of shocked, but you don't know what God can do. Because what he just say, faith without works is what? Yeah. Right? And so every chance that I get, due to my knowledge, training, and experience as an officer, how long I've been an officer, I no longer look at maybe arresting someone for the what they would call a stat, right? Oh, that person just want to get a number, he want to do this. I look at it more as an opportunity, something for me to be able to give them something new to think about. Maybe to broaden their understanding, maybe provoke a mind. You know, that's what I'm looking for. So I get the opportunity and he said that, hey, can you be my mentor? And I said, yeah. And to this day, that was maybe 3 years ago, I still work hand in hand with that gentleman. Right? Yeah. So it's amazing what God will do. If you open your Bibles up to Isaiah 43 for me, we're going to begin in verse 18 and 19. Okay. I want to talk to you today about new things. Okay, I want to talk to you today about new things. How does it feel when you wear new clothes? It makes you feel good, right? You know, they say the way that you dress is the way that you feel. How about purchasing a new vehicle? You know, you get that new vehicle, you make sure that it stays clean. You wash it all the time, right? You make sure two or three times in the first week, right? Because you want to make sure that you want to keep it clean. I mean, but if you like me, you don't just wash it, you wax it. Because you want that shine. because it's something about that new car, right? That new car smell. What about the purchase of a new home? It's probably one of the biggest purchases an individual will make in a lifetime. You would agree with that, right? It's probably one of the biggest. But see, when you purchase that home, it comes a lot of decision making. You got a lot of things to consider when you purchase that home. You get new paint, new furniture, new appliances. Kind of sounds like our walk with God. See, it's the best choice that you can make in your life to walk with God. But there's a lot of decisions that needs to be made. A lot of attention to detail that is needed. And our walk with God is something new. It's fresh. In Isaiah 43, beginning in verse 18, he says, "Remember not the former things, neither consider the things of old." Wow. Hold on. "Remember not the former things, neither consider the things of old." And we have a problem. See, when I was talking to that gentleman, I could have started to reflect on my old me, right? But instead, I wanted to give him something new. Because it wasn't me that was being used at that time. It was what was in me that gave him that peace, that joy, that gave him that calmness that we were all looking for, right? That was the connection. It wasn't me. It was what's in me that gave it to him. Verse 19, Isaiah said, "Behold, I will do a new thing." What does that mean? We all have a past and fallen short of the glory of God. And our job is to accept and receive God's forgiveness and look forward to the new thing that he would do in our lives. I think you would agree with that, because I can't accept anything new if I continue to look in my past. Can you drive looking backwards? Can you ride a bike looking backwards? Why? You can, right? You can, but you don't know what's in front of you. And God is saying, I just need you to receive what I have for you. Take this forgiveness and allow me to work in you and through you. I want to do something new in you. 2 Corinthians 5:17 said, "Therefore, if any man believe in Christ," he's a what? He's a new creation. Did you hear that word, new? He's a new creation. Old things, all the things that I used to do, all the things that I did before this time, this moment, henceforth, right? They are all passed away. Behold, everything becomes what? Wow. Did you hear that? Say that one more time. Wow. It becomes new, right? And I always thought about, like, what is God trying to give me in this newness, right? What is this new thing that he's trying to give me? Is it a new opportunity, a new job, a new relationship, a new promotion, a new car, a new house, right? A new day. Every new day is a new hope, a new opportunity for you to draw closer to the word of God and allow God to work in you and through you. Do you guys agree with that? Wow. And although we fall short of the glory of God, God never leaves us alone. God always wants to continue to pour into our lives. And in Lamentations 3:22, he talks about this. He says in verse 22, 3:22 and 23, he says, "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not." Wow. That means that God's mercies are new every day. Did you hear that? Every day there's a new opportunity for us to draw closer to what gives us peace, to what gives us joy. Matter of fact, to what gives us something that sustains us for the remainder of our life. Three things that God is trying to do. Write these down if you want. The first one is God is trying to give you a new frame of mind when you receive him. Right? God gives you a new heart, a new way to look at things. But don't forget this one. I want you to catch this one. The biggest thing that God wants to do is give you a new perspective on life for life. Let me say that again. God is trying to give you a new perspective on life for life. Why? Because he loves you and you're worthy of it. And all you have to do is accept the free gift of salvation and allow God to work in you and through you. And who knows where God's road to take you. Can you receive that? Thank you.
Okay, good morning. You may be seated. Wow, Pastor Fred Cedric gave a great message about old things passing away and all things becoming new. And I've talked to him as a police officer and asked him, have you ever had to run after somebody and tackle them? And yeah, he's done it all. That guy is amazing. He's a police officer, you know, with a message, you know, with a message and with care, and cares about people, like he told about arresting that man and ministering to him in the car. Great story, isn't it? Yeah. So our prayer is for our country that we would embrace righteousness, turn to the law, that we need law, we need order, we need the authority of the police to live by law and order and to protect innocent people. And then also another level, like you have law and order, and then you have another level of faith, of church life, of learning who is Christ, and of being born again. Another aspect of our life that we have discovered is the great grace of God that changes our lives. Maybe you would be a criminal except Christ saved you. Turn to your neighbor and say, you look like you could have become a criminal, but Christ saved you. Yes, not only do I look like I could have become, but in my heart I know I could have been a bad guy. Yeah, but I had good parents that helped me. We also went to church, and that helped me, but I was still a bad guy. And then when I was 19 years old, I accepted Christ, and old things have passed away, and a lot of new things came into our hearts, and we started to understand who is God and how much He loves us, and then we began to love God. It happened. The new birth, the love of God in our lives. The last couple of days we were in Pennsylvania at a retreat center with 160 men from the ministry who came from Chicago, Miami, Maine, came from Massachusetts, Las Vegas. They came from different places, and we ate together, wore casual clothes, didn't shower, but ate more food and prayed and sang and opened the Word. And I want to share with you one of the short messages that we shared. So this is 1 Samuel 17 and verse 57. And we will go into chapter 18 and go through the first seven verses of that chapter. It's a simple story, but I think we can learn something from it. I want you to think about Jesus Christ today and how there is no one like Jesus Christ. He is God. When He died on the cross, that was God that died on the cross. You say, how could God die? I can answer, I don't know, but he did. God died for us on the cross. It was not an angel. It was not merely a man. It was the God-man, Christ, who died on the cross for us. If that was God, and it was, then the magnitude of what he did is beyond our human understanding. It's called the unspeakable gift, unsearchable riches, love passing understanding, that we were all lost without God, and Christ came and overcame death. In a way, there's like death is in his hand. He has the keys of hell and the keys of death in Revelation 1 in his hand. The keys, like the keys. I say to my wife, where's my keys? Where are my car keys? And she said, they're in your hand. Okay, so where's my phone? I'm using my phone to look around with a flashlight. Where's my phone? Where's my phone? It's in my hand. When Christ came, he had something that he did. He was purposed to do the most important thing that could be done. That was to overcome death, take away our sin, rise from the dead for us, that we would live forever. He saved us. He did it. When David killed Goliath, he was a great big giant of a man. He killed him with a sling and a stone. The man fell over. David went over, and what did he do? He cut off his head. He carried his head around. He did, probably by the hair, right, of the giant. Carried his head around. Maybe it got heavy, he dragged it, I don't know, but he carried it. He did. He carried it. If you met David on the road, you'd say, where are you coming from? What are you carrying in your hand? And he could say, I overcame him. I did it. God did it. I'm victorious. I did this. In a way, Jesus is like that. That Jesus overcame death, and he wants to tell it to you. He wants you to know that he overcame death. He overcame all of us, the worst, the big, the bad, the ugly. He overcame everything that we would ever face in life. Every heartache, every broken relationship, every sickness, every cancer. Every tomb, every grave, every cemetery, every hospital, every police station, every rebuke, every chastisement, he overcame everything. He did. Christ is awesome. Christ is amazing. Christ is important. Notice something on the video. It's faith in blue, faith in blue, faith. We need faith in our community. Faith. What is it that they didn't say? God. They didn't say the name God. Definitely they didn't say Jesus Christ. But they didn't even say God. I appreciate their effort. I realize this is a statement for our society. We get behind the police. And faith is important. But the faith has to be directed to somebody. There has to be more of a message. It has to be faith in God. It has to be faith in Christ. Who's carrying the head around? Who overcame death? Who overcame my anger, my fear, my depression, my shame? Who overcame the grave? Jesus Christ did. So they do their job, and then, listen to me, we do our job. We preach Christ. We evangelize. We share the message. Thank you for the police and every effort made to get behind law and order, get behind righteousness and the right thing. You come out to church in the next weeks and months, and we'll get you straightened out. Guys, a lot of you need help. Turn to your neighbor and say, you need help. Go ahead. Hey, you need some help. You need to get right with God. Okay. Go to 1 Samuel 17, verse 57. Then as David returned from the slaughter of the Philistine, Abner took him and brought him before Saul with the head of the Philistine in his hand. David, you could drop that thing. No, I'm bringing it to the king. I want him to see it. It was amazing what happened. Verse 58, Saul said to him, "Whose son are you, young man?" David answered, "I am the son of your servant Jesse, the Bethlehemite." You don't have to say a lot. Just my name and where I came from. And who I am is in my hand right here. That's who I am. By God's grace. You don't have to say a lot when you've been raised from the dead like Jesus Christ was. Now, I don't have to say much. Now, just hold up the head and just say, any questions? The story is told in my hand. What happened? That I've been raised, if this is Jesus Christ and David, Jesus is the son of David. You know, the blind man Bartimaeus cried out, son of David, have mercy on me. There's something about that in our lives too. And that is, we don't have to have a lot of words when you have victory in your life. And you've overcome bitterness and rage and anger that consumes your heart. And you got joy, peace, and love because you overcame. A bad divorce, I'm sorry for it. But you got to live your life. You got to move on. You got to forgive yourself. You got to forgive your ex-wife. You got to forgive your children. You got to forgive. You got to learn to forgive, because that's going to be in, holding in your. You got something in your. I overcame, and it was a tough go. Or I was in a jail cell for 7 years. Or I was convicted of a crime And it was painful for me and my family, but I overcame the shame of it and the craziness of it, the penalty of it, the pain of it. I overcame it. I overcame it. It's an amazing thing when we have something in our hand that was our enemy. It was either him or me. He was going to kill me or I was going to kill him. It was my enemy. Either that bitterness was going to take me out, where I was going to overcome through Jesus Christ. Yeah, oh, wow, you guys are right on it. You are right on it. Let's go to the chapter 18, verse 1. This is a good part here. It was so when David had finished speaking to Saul, there was somebody there listening. David was there. He told him his name. That's all that's recorded. Probably chatted a little bit, but Jonathan was there. And what did Jonathan see? He met a man who wasn't whining and crying about how unfair life is. He met a man who was holding the enemy in his hand and talking to his father. And immediately Jonathan saw something. He saw something. This is important. When Jesus Christ is in the Gospels, you should be seeing something. You should see something and hear something and recognize that this person is the one that I want in my life. I want him in my life. Nobody speaks like him. Nobody has a spirit like him. Nobody has that mind like he's got. I get it. I got it. I touched it. I realized what it is. Yes, Lord. So this happened to Jonathan. Look at verse 1. The soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David. And Jonathan loved him as his own soul. Why? Because David was a hero? Yeah, he was a hero. And I want a hero in my life. I need somebody to be a hero. Maybe even in the car, the police car, with Officer Cedric, that guy in the back seat, is realizing that this guy has overcome. This guy's got something. And when the criminal in the back seat is listening and is touching his heart, his soul is knit. I don't want to put into the story what isn't there, but I just want to illustrate the point that when you meet somebody that has a clear sound, when you go to a church like this one, hallelujah, by the grace of God, I'm very happy to say it. By the grace of God, we have a sound, and their people's their soul is knit to Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit is faithful to knit us together. And to say, you know, I want it. I want to belong to, I want to hang out with David. I want to hang out. I want him in my life. I want Jesus Christ in my life. That's what's happening here. Verse 2. And Saul took him that day and would not let him go home to his father's house anymore. So the king recognized it also, but maybe in a different way. The king Saul said, hey, this guy, I could use him. This guy, pretty cool guy. But his connection was different, as we read in the story. King Saul had an ego that he wasn't able to manage. By the way, be careful of your ego, okay? Be careful of it. I wrote down a note here. When you get rebuked, many, many people, when they are rebuked, they are provoked to pride. When they get told something, you noticed it in school, high school, if you were corrected, how your initial reaction was to protect yourself. No, that's not exactly how it was. Or your chemistry teacher rebukes you or reproves you by a test or an exam. You feel shame. You might feel hatred towards the teacher or for the subject. You have a reaction in your heart because of your ego to protect, to deny, to feel shame, maybe retaliate. Be careful of that. Because rebuke happens in the church. It happens actually from God. He rebukes us and corrects us. But I don't like it. I don't like it, but why don't I take it? I'll be blessed if it's true. I will be blessed by the truth. Why don't I take the rebuke? Why don't I take the shame that I feel and go to God? And say, God, I feel ashamed, and help me, cover me, lift me up, fill me with your spirit. Help me have oneness with truth. Help me have oneness with you. Help me have oneness in the reality of life. When my son works in the hospital, and he did an internship in an emergency room in Pennsylvania, and there were so many people that had weight problems and diabetes. It was a standard profile, but you couldn't tell anybody that you need to lose some weight. You need to get a little bit your life in order. He said we couldn't say it. And the doctor he was working with said, you know, you can't say that. Guys, they will call into the hospital and they will write you up and say that you offended them. You offended them. So then you get this on your... So you can't say it. It's like we are in a society where we can't say things to people because they will be offended, and that's the game we have to play. I might say to you, sisters and brothers, that we in our culture may play that game, but God does not play that game. Hallelujah. Like, tell me the truth, God. Tell me the truth. And if I get offended, I am offended, but I will not leave you. I will not leave you. I want you in my life. I need the truth in my life. I will benefit from the truth. Tell me if I'm living in sin. Tell me to repent. Tell me to turn to you. Tell me to humble myself. Tell me to agree. Because this guy who's got the head in his hand, that guy is that's a cool guy. That guy is the guy I want in my life. He is benefiting. He was benefiting. People don't show you the benefit of quit smoking cigarettes, for example. That's now an old issue, so it's safe for me to say it. You can't say that. It's a health problem. Yes, but it's just not the thing. But I will benefit. I may live longer or may be healthier, or I will benefit. If I am proud, why doesn't somebody tell me? It's just like when I have bad breath, I could say to my wife, do I have bad breath? She goes, whew, man, you need help. Thank you for telling me that. Why is everybody running away from me? I will benefit from the truth. How about it? It's maybe silly, but Pastor, go back to the Bible, okay? You it's safer. Okay, go back. Chapter 18, verse 3. Then Jonathan and David made a covenant because he loved him as his own soul. Jonathan took off the robe. Now, Jonathan was to be the next king. So you have the king and the prince. The prince who's going to be the next king, and he has a robe, and he takes it off. I give to God my most precious thing. I give to God the honor. I give to God my very life. I give to God the thing that is so important to me, and I surrender it to him. Verse 3. And gave it to David with his armor, even to his sword and his bow and his belt. Verse 5. So David went out wherever Saul sent him, behaved wisely. Saul set him over the men of war. He was accepted in the sight of all the people and also in the sight of Saul's servants. So David is... He's a guy that you could relate to. He's a guy that could rule over you. He's a guy that will serve you. He's a guy that's in the trenches with you. He's a guy that's on the battlefield. He's a guy that cares about you. He's like Jesus. And when our soul is knit together with him, we also become like him. And this is what is happening in your life. Your life is very important. And who you associate with, who you will surrender your life to, who you will walk with, who you will listen to, this all has a lot to do with your future. You will benefit from it. You will benefit from God's ways and God's word. Verse 6. Now, as it happened, as they were coming home, when David was returning from the slaughter of the Philistines, that the women had come out of all the cities of Israel singing and dancing to meet King Saul with tambourines, with joy, and with musical instruments. This is like a revival. This is like something new, maybe Pentecost. This is joy in the street. This is the body of Christ. This is the recognition of this man, the young man. young man who is now here with us. This happens in our home, in our family. It happens in our life. It's a, you have something new and fresh, something beautiful that comes from God. The history of revivals where villages in Wales, the miners, the coal miners, 1905, the famous Welsh revival. There were tears, there were black faces coming out of the coal mines, and then there was white streaks coming down where the tears washed the coal dust down. And these men would go to church and read the Bible and learn about God. There was joy. It changed lives and families, and the same thing is for us today. This is the way to think about it. So the women sang and danced, verse 7. Then said, Saul has slain his thousands, David his 10,000s. Then Saul was very angry. There it is. Saul was very angry. The ego. It seems that Jonathan didn't have that ego problem because a spiritual life overtakes our ego. You know, it's there. And so Jonathan and David are one all their lives. And that's the spiritual life of our fellowship. But there's people that will leave, or people that are angry, or people that can't handle it. Or, why, you can't say that about me. What did they say? Verse 8, we'll finish. The saying displeased him. They ascribed to David 10,000s, and to me they've ascribed only but thousands. But what more can he have but the kingdom? So saw I David from that day forward. Let's read it a little differently. Let's put you in there, you and me. Saul was very angry. Tom Schaller was very angry because they're singing about David and he's killed his 10,000s, and I have killed my two or three people. They said I only killed one. What could he have but the kingdom? He can have the kingdom. What would you say if you are spirit-filled? You'd say, wow, David is a mighty man. He has killed many more than me. I thank God we are on the same team. I have my little part. David has a great big part. David is great. God has given David great grace. God has blessed David in a great way. He has also blessed me because I killed one of the enemies. God gave me victory, and I'm still alive today. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. I'm alive. I'm in the game. I'm part of this whole thing. Thank you, Jesus. Matthew Henry, the great Bible commentator, was robbed on the street one day, and he went home, and he just sat down, and he wrote down something. He said, I was robbed, but I thank God. And he wrote down, number one, he robbed so little, and he didn't take my life. I'm still alive. Number two, he robbed me, and I didn't rob him. He was the robber, and I was not the robber, you know. And then he did a couple other points there. I like that little story. We have so much to be thankful for if we are alive. We have so much to be thankful for if we have the Spirit of God. We're not measuring how much we do or how little or how much you do and how little I do. No, we are listening to something more deep. Something like we have overcome death, that Goliath has gone, that our King is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, that he's redeemed us with his own blood, that we're indwelt by his Spirit, that we're part of something a lot bigger than us. And we can give our robe and our sword and our girdle over to him and say, this is about you. You are the king. And I heard that Queen Elizabeth, who just recently passed away, was waiting for Jesus' return. And she said, when Jesus returns, I will bring my crown and lay it at his feet. I think in her spirit, this is how she lived. Like, my soul is knit, Jonathan's soul is knit to David like this. Saul and David were like this. And Saul said, I need David. But the minute David becomes more important to me, I will take him out. I will destroy him. And he tried to kill him, as you read in the chapter. Because who can stand against jealousy? Wrath is cruel, anger is outrageous, but who can stand against jealousy? That's a proverb. Amen. Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, thank you for this time. We pray for our country, the police, Cedric, Juan, Laura, our security on campus, State Trooper Jack Hadley, Josh, Solins, other officers and policemen that we know. Help them, protect them, use them. For we need law and order for our society to function so we have peace and godliness in life. Lord, that we would be good citizens and vote in a month from now. Plan on it. We vote. Please vote. You're a citizen. You have to vote. You are a citizen. It's required of you. God would say, why didn't you vote? According to the conviction that I put in your heart. Why didn't you show up? Why didn't you participate in the process? You get out of bed, you eat your breakfast, you go to work, you buy your gasoline, you live your life with your family. Why don't you vote? Why aren't you in the process and vote along the lines of righteousness and truth and protect human life? Why don't you do that? I just believe, I can't imagine God not saying that to us in our hearts. Romans 13, 1 to 3. Okay, so my prayer turned into preaching, so go back to the prayer part now. Jesus, Lord Jesus. Maybe somebody here, you feel you're a little far away, and so just make a decision. I draw near. I want Jesus in my life. I want to hear his word. I want his spirit to fill me. I need it. Yes, come to Jesus as you are today. Lord Jesus, thank you. In your name, we do have a burden for our country. And thank you for your churches, and may the messages everywhere always magnify you. In your name, amen.